thing is, then in the afternoon, and it can last up to the late hours of the evening. So whoever made this decision did so in contravention of this agreement that is there. The time from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning is used by the different political parties to prepare themselves. And it's also based on a specific request. A request that came from members of parliament who are still travelling back to parliament on a Tuesday morning, or members who live in the villages simply say that it's impossible to get up and to make it to parliament by 9 o'clock in the morning. There were several instances where meetings had to start late on a Tuesday morning because there were no forums available. And that is the reason why it should be 10 o'clock. And I hope this is the last time that we talk about this. Any deviation from this program must be discussed with the chief whip of the majority party and then consult the other chief whips of political parties. A warm welcome especially to our visitors. I think Mr. Compella is still on his way and he will join us in due course. Unfortunately, we cannot leave our guests and the other presenters and the members waiting any longer. We did receive requests, Dr. Kosa, if you can recall. It was prior to the final of the Rugby World Cup when the PSL was supposed to appear to do a presentation. And let me make it very, very clear. It's got nothing to do with summoning. No one summons anyone to come here. We want to create an environment in Parliament that is conducive for all citizens of the country, whether they are involved in organized sports federations, whether they are from community clubs, wherever, to feel free to come and share with us information at their disposal. And it's in that spirit that we invited the PSL to come, because there were different things that flared up in the media, especially after certain things were reported upon where sponsorships were involved. And we said it would be unfair to take a position unless we interact with the people who are involved in those different entities. We also have today, very importantly so, the Department of Sport and Recreation, and we will interact with their presentation after lunch, because we've put the time aside this morning to deal exclusively with matters pertaining to the PSL. In the communique that we sent out to Dr. Kosa and that he replied timely, we reached a common agreement that we could continue with the meeting this morning. And thank you very much for the delegation for honoring that commitment that was given. The meeting will take the following format. We will give an opportunity to the delegation and the leader thereof to introduce the delegation, after which they will proceed with a presentation that has been prepared. If it's an electronic presentation, we would request hard copies to be made available to the members of the committee for further reflection and also to use for further reference. After the presentation has been made, we'll give an opportunity to members of the portfolio committee to interact with the presentation and to raise matters for further discussion. That is the basic format under which we will proceed, and after that, we will look at the way forward and further engagement between this entity of Parliament, the committee, and the PSL. It's over to the delegation of the committee, or the leader of the delegation, Dr. Kosa.
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, I want to thank your understanding in affording me an opportunity to go to Paris to be part of the support group, you know, to encourage the folks, you know, to contrast the English in the manner you have done. Then, of course, they won the cup. So they put pressure on Zafa and Bafana Bafana that they must do better in 2020. And I indicate in my letter that on the 25th, it is the meeting of the EXCO, and on the 30th, it is the meeting of the Board of Governors. Thank you for speaking. Before I start, I want to introduce the delegation. I'll start first with Mr. Kazamita Wu, who is a member of the Executive Committee, who is the convener and chair of the Finance Committee. He's also a member of the depth is Jessica Mensa. She's a CSL, you know, a marketing director, also a member, a head of a service manager. On my right, of course, is Abuela Magabu, who's a prosecutor and in-house legal advisor of the CSL. The chair and members of the portfolio committee, I have, in terms of the indication that we received, I'll just deal with the headings because the rest is dealt with in terms of the time that was requested. That the release briefing was of PSL on after positive to on the fourth indication for the provision for the report. I've already made hard copies available to the members, but for the benefit, you know, process has read, you know, for the members to be able to understand. On the 14th of December 2006, Absa Bank notified the PFL that they said their contract signed on the 1st of November 2006. They were exercising their right in taking up a suitable renewal of him on the Absa Cup. They agreed with the PFL to extend the renewed period created in the agreement, the of March 2007, which is still having to conclude this new broadcast agreement. And I read, you know, the letter that is notifying us of the intention to extend. It's a several previously of Junior Soccer League, Mr. Phillips, and extension of the exclusive renewal period by AFSA and GSM Soccer NFL. I refer to our meeting discussion on the 5th of December 2006. This letter serves as a confirmation of the mutual agreement by AFSA and the PFL that is the party to extend the suitable renewal security created in the agreement between the parties dated the 1st of November 2007 in source 15.2 until the 15th of March 2007. The last 2013 general meeting. On the 15th of December 2006, the PFL replied to AFSA confirming the extension period of the exclusive negotiation to the 15th of March. And this from the document, Mr. A. Bertin, General Manager, AFSA Cross Marketing Communications, ANG, re-extension of the exclusive renewal period by AFSA and the PFL Stroken Assembly. I refer to a letter to the 14th of December 2006. Concerning the extension of the exclusive renewal period, I agreed it will be extended until 15th of March 2007, as agreed with this answer to our meeting on the 15th of December 2006. On the 14th of March 2007, a meeting was held with AFSA and the CSL negotiating team, consisting of the Chief Executive Officer Trevor Phillips and Peter Mensa, head of the Assembly Management. It was agreed in this meeting that due to the fact that the paper did not conclude this broadcast agreement to date, the exclusive negotiating period for the AFCAP competition will be further extended to the end of April 2007. During the course of April 2007 to the end of July, while the paper was finalizing this broadcast agreement, AFCAP and the paper continued to agree extension of the negotiating period of the AFCAP competition. Myself, accompanied by Peter Mensa of Diversity Management, made a meeting with the AFSA Marketing and Sponsorship Team, consisting of Kevin Singila, Stuart Marcella, and Andy Bertin, with regards to the renewal of AFSA Cup competition contract. AFSA confirmed that they wanted to take up the option and renew the contract for the AFSA Cup in terms of their contract. Also, AFSA undertook to write the theater in clarity with regards to certain aspects of the sponsorship proposal the PSL has presented to them. Now that proposal is part of the details of agreement with the activists in Lebanon. On the KTS of Akkad, 207, the signatories link some persons of interest obtain a legal opinion from senior counsel advocates in Sweden. Now this happens because there is another, interest shown from another financial, service company. And we were not sure of the legal rights or to engage in discussion with that, particular institution. And we went for the opinion, and I'll read the opinion that you received in the theater. The renewal terms in the agreement with ABSA continued. Consulting with the National Soccer League, the NSL is part of an agreement with ABSA Bank Limited. Amongst the material terms of the agreement are the following. In terms of cross-service, ABSA is required to pay certain sponsorship considerations to the NSL, in particular in relation to the ABSA Cup. In terms of cross-service, the NSL is to grant ABSA certain sponsorship benefits for the duration of the agreement. In terms of cross-service, Schedule 3, Clause 2, ABSA is granted exclusivity within the financial services sector. In essence, this means that the NSF is precluded from allowing other negotiations in the financial services sector to sponsor a range of specified tournaments, and thus ABSA concerns in IT. In terms of Clause 5, the duration of the agreement is from the 1st of November 2002 to the 1st of October 2007. My opinion is thought primarily on a narrow issue arising out of this agreement. In renewing and or negotiating the agreement, is the NSL required to offer ABSA exclusivity in the financial services sector or generally? In other words, is the NSL required to offer ABSA the same or similar benefits that it has doing from Clause 6, versus Schedule 3, and Clause 2? In this regard, the critical clause is persisting dealing with renewal. It provides as follows. ABSA can have the right of first refusal in respect of extending this agreement on the following basis. ABSA will notify the NSL in writing of its intention to renew this agreement not less than 12 months prior to the expiry date of the agreement. The NSL will negotiate on a good faith exclusivity strictly with ABSA to extend this agreement on mutually agreeable terms, and that is underlined, for a period of 3 months from receipt of the letter. If such agreement is not forthcoming within this 3 month period, NSL shall thereafter be free to negotiate and conclude an agreement with any third party, provided it cannot be on better terms than those offered to ABSA. In light of this clause, I only view that NSL is not required to offer ABSA exclusivity with the financial services sector or generally. It is because although consisting gives ABSA a right of first refusal, in respect of extending this agreement, it is expressly made subject to Clause 15.1, 15.2, and 15.3. In this regard, Clause 15.2 provides that NSF is to negotiate in good faith with ABSA to extend this agreement on mutually agreeable terms. The agreement does not require extension to take place on the same terms or even similar terms as the existing agreement. Rather, the terms must be mutually agreeable. I therefore the view that the NSL needs not offer ABSA the same benefits as currently enjoys under the agreement. This is provided that the NSL negotiates in good faith, the NSL negotiates exclusively with ABSA for 3 months after receiving the relevant letter. And if the NSL ultimately concludes an agreement with a third party, it shall not be on better terms than those offered to ABSA. These constraints are not entirely irrelevant to the question of whether the NSL has any duty to offer a form of exclusivity. If the NSL chooses not to offer exclusivity to ABSA, it may also be precluded from offering exclusivity to any third party with which it wants to conclude an agreement instead of ABSA. To do so might breach Clause 15.3. However, this would depend on the terms of the agreement with the third party as a whole, including, for example, the sponsorship fee paid and the exclusivity offered. The relevant question appears to be whether the agreement viewed as a whole offers the third party more favorable terms than those offered to ABSA. Moreover, depending on the circumstances, the NSL may breach the obligations in negotiating good faith when it, for example, adopts a rigid approach at the outset that refused to even countenance any degree of peer sensitivity, no matter what the price offered by Apple. This, though, is a typical issue which can only properly be addressed in light of specific facts. Subject to these two questions in general, I am firmly of the view that NSS does not offer Apple the same benefits it currently enjoys under the agreement, including those of the facility. This opinion is given by Mr. Steve Woodlander, President of Apple's Council. Now, during this period, then we received a proposal from another financial institution. Discussions took place, but at some point, it was a breakdown in our negotiations. On the 2nd of September 2007, various media publications had published that another financial institution had shown interest in purchasing the rights to sponsor the TSF. After immediately contacted the TSF, now pushing at this point, there was now a breakdown of communication with other institutions, and the time for Alpha was perfect. Alpha immediately contacted the TSF for an agent meeting with regards to their contact with the TSF, and in the paper report that another financial institution was interested in sponsoring one of the TSF properties in the deal. On the 5th September 2007, the meeting between Alpha, represented by Hedwin Singila, and Louis Bonsignier, the British Director of Alpha, and the TSF presented by myself and Peter Mensah, Head of Service Management, took place at Alpha Security. Alpha brought the TSF's notice that just across from Schedule 3, number 2.1, it states that NSF will not be permitted to allow another organization within the financial services sector to sponsor the tournament currently known as the Carter Premiership, GT Top 8, Coca-Cola Cup, or Telecom Charity Cup, unless Alpha has been consulted and has not consented in writing to that. As Alpha's contract was only finished by the 6th of October 2007, Alpha was in full right to make a proposal to the theater to sponsor the league, which was up to positive for the next 5 years. On the 5th of September 2007, the theater received a letter from Alpha formally making the theater an offer for the exclusive rights to sponsor the theater league, subject to the written agreement being completed in the country. The letter was sent to me on the 5th of September here in Kosovo. In terms of our understanding, today Alpha would like to make an offer for the naming rights to the exclusive financial services partner to the TSF Premier. Our offer for the rights is for the sum of 55 million rand and is subject to the parties entering into a written agreement recording their respective rights and obligations. I thought that you will find this in order to hear this. Everything is a group executive, group magazine. Now, in there, Alpha also sent an overview of their reasons for wanting to undertake the Premiership sponsorship. I'll read from their document. The brand objective is to be the dominant banking brand in soccer, to consolidate our position as the leading banking brand in soccer in terms of awareness, to engender loyalty among our customers who support in soccer, to strengthen our partnership with the TSF in the country's quest to appeal the communities through the regular program. The business objective, product integration, to promote our product awareness and create a positive association with them. Internal to work our staff is promoting participation in our sponsorship as well as their support to create unique and individual experiences for the sports supporters through our leverage program. The proposal was presented, to the Joint Finance, Sponsorship and Marketing Committee on the 24th of September 2007 and was ratified to proceed with the deal with Alpha. The people present were the Kaiser Mutahu, the Trevor Fidges, Ms. Majo Machar, the Head of GM, Professor Ren Short, Mr. Teddy Matthews, and myself. On the 25th of September 2007, the theater met with Alpha to confirm the decision of the committee. It was agreed to meet on the 26th of September 2007. On the 26th of September 2007, Alpha and the TSF announced the Alpha sponsorship of the league to be called the Alpha Premier League. Heads of agreement were signed on the 26th of September 2007. On the 27th of September 2007, the full executive committee met and ratified the transaction with Alpha. unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, it's not 365 million rand, but I won't say how much, but it's more than that. For the KTF of September 2007, the Sunday Times and City Press broke a story on the front and back page of the unfortunate person's retreat. Manuel Corrupt Bribe Scheme and Sunday Times. Alpha Bribe Corrupt City Press. The Honorable Minister, Sir Manuel, was quoted in the Sunday Times in a letter professed to send to Dr. Chief Poison of Alpha, I quote, "I'm completely shocked by the auxiliary announcement that Alpha paid 50 million rand to the private banking account of the administrator awarded the contract." Points to note with regard to this statement by the Honorable Minister. There has never been any negotiation with Alpha by CSF or its administrators regarding payment of any money to any private banking account of any sort of administrator. There is no mention in the heads of agreement concluded between Alpha and the CSF where any payments to any sort of administrators are required. There has never been any auxiliary announcement by either party any payments to any sort of administrators for the banking account. There is no clause or stipulation in the heads of agreement signed between the CSF and Alpha of any payments to any individual with regard to the right and the contract that Alpha has entered into with the CSF. There's never been any discussion during the negotiation period with Alpha of any commitments or payments to any party. On the morning of the 1st of October, Alpha called an urgent meeting with the CSF, letting Alpha also trust his poison, the group chief executive of Alpha, and Mr. Louis Monsignor, executive director of Alpha. Presenting the CSF was myself, Mr. Kevin Mushaw, chairman of the finance committee of the CSF, Professor Ben Schwartz, chief operating officer of the CSF, and Peter Mensah, head of service management. The media report was discussed thoroughly, and Dr. Steve Boyden undertook to write to me concerning Alpha's position with regard to the allegations made by the Honorable Minister of Finance, Mr. Kevin Marius, in the media. In this regard, I want to pause. That in that meeting, I did register my discomfort, you know, from Africa. That as a partner, I think we are duty bound that it should have wanted a letter to us, or maybe inform us, or maybe verify with us the fact. That in case we say, at one stage, did we discuss with the members of media management on the issues of committing ourselves? And that they considered that didn't have a mistake, because the next thing, you saw the story in the media, and they never given a chance. On the 1st of October, I wrote to the Honorable Minister of Sports Education requesting assistance with regard to the media report regarding the after property transaction. And the Honorable Minister of Finance, Mr. Kalamanya, said that he was the chief president of AFA, just before the meeting. Mr. Reverend M.A. Sophia, the Honorable Minister of Sports Education. Dear Reverend Sophia, I write to you with a need for assistance in relating to reports in the Sunday paper, and again today relating to the agreement between Alpha and the CSF. We have commenced negotiations and have concluded an interim agreement, pending a long form agreement. In the midst of our negotiations, it appears, according to the president that the Minister of Finance wrote a letter to the CEO of Alpha, Dr. Steve Poison, expressing outrage, and they said that the committee must be paid in relation to raising the problem. The protocol has been established in my opinion to deal with this type of matter between you and me. You recall the Dragon's letter. I was not favored with a copy of the letter from the Minister of Finance, the CEO of AFSA, and I was asked for comment. This type of mess-up is unnecessary for football, so that these issues in relation to SAFA have been raised previously. And not to have been written for everybody. I do not know whether you have been privy to the letter written by the Minister of Finance, but if you have not, I respectfully request that you ask for a copy of it and let me have the copy so that we may debate the issue from an informed position that I may request your intervention should it be required. Obviously, I would have to meet with my graduate committee to discuss this and would like to be properly informed before I do so. This morning on SAFM, Mr. Louis Bonsignor, the Group Executive Director of AFSA, was able to set out AFSA's view on the matter, but unable to give any properly considered comment. Our witness response, Dr. Ivan Korn. On the 1st of October 2007, Dr. Steve Boyden, the group chief executive officer of Upper Roots Junior College. Mr. Ivan Kosa, listener property. Dear Ivan, thank you for agreeing with us the short notice. We found the discussion productive, and I take pleasure in responding by letter as requested regarding the issue of commission. As we informed the Minister of Finance by letter, prior to him publishing his own letter in the media, no payments have been made to the NSF for the sponsorship, and no monies or commissions have been paid or promised by us to any individual who procured in this sponsorship. Moreover, we also wish to confirm that no commission ever discussed between ABSA and the NSF, nor were there any request from the NSF for the payment of commission for that inflation. In short, no money whatsoever has been passed. So far, as announced, we have only signed the heads of agreement reporting the terms of ABSA sponsorship with the NSF. In connection with your kind invitation for ABSA to be represented as observers at the media conference where you plan to deal with the matter with sponsorship tomorrow, I confirm that even similar to our group executive, group marketing will observe the media conference so as not to distract attention to your media interaction. The mandated APs only deal with the media planning directed to ABSA at the conclusion of your media conference. We hope that all the unfounded and mistaken statements will be corrected, that we may all soon return to focus on our core businesses and itself. The sport we all love and serves our stakeholders and the leading corporate citizens in South Africa. We have opened door invitation to discuss matters of concern with me.
Now, of course, please just a little bit. I see some of the people in the audience are state of this. There's no guy who's trying to blow up Parliament. What we have outside is a visiting head of state from President al-Bashir from Sudan that is now meeting with the President of the Republic. And it's really one gun to lose very soon, so we are very safe in trying to continue it off the course.
And thank you for the reassurance of us in the information. On the 4th of October 2007, the Honorable Minister of Sport and Recreation replied to me and I quote, "Dear friends, we have the PSS Minister Manuel Rao. Thank you for your letter of the 1st October 2007 on the matter. I have read its content with an element of puzzlement. It is because, one, nobody ever told me anything about the first project. Two, I have not seen Mr. Manuel's letter to ABSA. As such, I do not have a spread of facts on the matter. As you know, I never really rely on media statements or rumors on such issues. Until I get a special report or reports, I'm unable to intervene on the matter. I hope you understand." Then we had the Board of Governors meeting over here. Media has gone into an unparalleled carnival about the PSL in recent months. First, it was about the broadcast rights to football. When that was done, it was about the rights committee. This latter issue has caused a feeling frenzy in the media and no other since I became a chairman. Before opening the matter up for debate, I want to impress upon the Board of Governors the integrity of the process. Then I would second or rather propose a motion from the floor supporting the chairman's proposal. What I'm reading now is from the actual recording of the meeting, you know, that took place on the level. I'll second or rather propose a motion from the floor supporting the chairman's proposal. Granted a 10% commission for such negotiations. Mr. Brookstone, the negotiating committee should be rewarded, you know, for that. I have no problem with that at all, but I think that we cannot start from a zero base. I think the base should be where we are now and what this group of people, whoever they may be, grow from there. This is the incremental transition. The committee. This matter has not been discussed at a great event. I have no previous knowledge of this request to the floor. Also not in agreement with it, and I need to stand up and get counted on this. This was in relation to raising the issue, the matter at the meeting, not against the principle. I think we should be extremely prudent about any willing need acknowledgement or agreement until this matter has possibly been discussed at length by the new executive that will be appointed, so that we come up with a short out structured plan on who and what and why will get what on the basis of performance of what. If they want a fee for an over and above figure, if they want a fee for achieving a certain range, I am all in agreement with that. And I think people should be rewarded for their additional value they can add over and above what we thought we were paying for in the first place. Dr. Corner, obviously the mechanics need to be discussed and brought back and be agreed upon. If you read the contract of the CEO, it is entitled to commission. If you read the dimensional contract which was signed by the TSX, which was not party to it, you know that provision is there, but I thought I must report it here. I want the meeting to guide me, and I put a thought on the table, so give me guidance. Accepting 10%, you know, accepting 10% with the rider, that's an opportunity. Anybody who has an opportunity to bring something to enhance the comfort of the TSX is free to do so and will be entitled to a commission. That doesn't come down to you. But I think Hilary proposed a very good thing for us to look at, but obviously whatever we discuss here will have to be taken over by the new executive committee. Obviously, they will have to leave. Mr. Prince, the executive committee should take this back and come to a very detailed structure, and I can assure you that there is going to be a vociferous debate around the issue, and the new executive committee will have to look at the matter very carefully. Mr. Brookstone, I think that we should not feel that people within our organization should not be entitled to end commission. We do not want to be selfish and say, okay, because I'm not in the negotiating team, I do not want the negotiators to get anything. I would rather see to it go outside, but we don't just want to be sure that we have done it in a way that is not going to create a zero at some stage. Dr. Corbett, now I want to maybe accept that let me take this matter back to the basis so that, you know, we'll be able to report back. For those members that will be elected in due course, as to what will be the approach, but the principle is understood that people must be rewarded, but let us work the mechanics as to how the truth is. But of course, the principle has been accepted that people doing the negotiating are entitled to a commission. The modality and details of that has been left, you know, to the oncoming executive committee to finalize those modalities. In that meeting, while the agreement was not reached as to the precise modalities, two principles were agreed, which were unequivocal and uncontested and agreed. Those are that commission should be tabled and that the negotiations should be handled from within rather than by bringing an external third party. To this day, the principles have only been challenged by individuals within this rank in the media. Our meeting minutes and other internal matters have not been questioned except for correspondence sent by John from July 2007, and I attend to those now. Prior to the meeting, prior to the meeting which has been discussed above, a meeting was held on the 21st of September 2007. In those minutes, it was endorsed that the media and social press negotiating team for the forthcoming round of negotiations would consist of the chairman of the league, chairman of the finance committee, and the CEO. Before the executive committee could meet to discuss the matter of commission, the committees met with Mr. Phillips on the 19th of January 2007, and the committees proposed a mechanism of sharing the income from sponsorship. This reward scheme was sent out to the committees and IX. at a meeting of the executive committee of the PSL on the 21st of January. The executive committee took up the matter discussed at the final general meeting of the NSL, with the committee was present. The discussion regarding committees was raised and the amount it was increased, I quote, the committee unanimously agreed the distribution of the commission to the new sponsorship, commission to be 15%. Commission to only be on the incremental grade of the sponsorship, full commission to be paid only on any new sponsorship obtained, if not current sponsor. Parties negotiating sponsorship to be paid 10%, aggressive members to receive 2%, clubs to receive 3%. This unanimous agreement established by the executive committee at this meeting, having taken its guidance from the members of the Board of Governors, established the follow-through and integrity of the process. After the executive committee meeting of the 24th January 2007, where the commission was approved, the committee sent a copy of this proposed reward scheme to me on the 15th of February by email. The committee also sent this proposed reward scheme to other members of the executive committee. For the first time and after the matter was settled, the new scheme was proposed to myself and other members of the executive committee and the committee. At the executive committee meeting on the 27th of February 2007, the minutes of the 24th January 2007 were approved, proposed, and seconded. In the meeting of the 29th March 2007, it was noted that the issue of the commission breakdown was going to be referred to the Board of Governors meeting. This was particularly in relation to the increase of the proposed amount from 10% to 15%, because they felt that there might be a matter of proper governance of 5%, which would be awarded to the executive committee and to the club. That being to the club, that 3% to the club and 2% to the executive committee, to resolve that the and I would refer the 5% increase to Red and Church. May I at this point, Mr. Chairman, read the data from the Red and Church, which is not part of the meeting or going on, the time that has been circulated. 17th of October, dear Dr. Kola, corporate governance in review, and that is the letter, Mr. Chairman, from Red and Church, I'm reading. Thank you for your meeting with Roy Schultz and myself earlier today. In connection with your request that we perform a review of your governance and approval process and actions relating to the proposed commission on sponsorship, we regret to advise that we are unable to perform this service. As external auditors of the National Soccer League, we need to be independent of the National Soccer League and to comply with our professional responsibility. Paragraph 6.1 of Code of Professional Conduct of the Independent Regulatory Board for Auditors addressing conflict of letters indicate a practitioner should be free and be seen to be free from any influence, interest, or relationship, whether direct or indirect, which might be regarded, whatever its actual defect, as being incompatible with integrity, objectivity, and independence. We believe that there is a strong possibility that the said parties would regard a review by us of the governance and approval process and actions relating to the proposed commission on sponsorship as being incompatible with objectivity or independence as auditors. Furthermore, auditors are prohibited from performing any management functions or taking any management decisions. In light of the significant amount involved, as well as the sensitivities and high level of publicity attaching to the proposed commission, is a risk that the third parties could regard our involvement in such a review as performing a management function. The above factors have led us to the conclusion that we will not be able to perform the review you requested. In light of the sensitivity and importance of the subject matter of the proposed review, we support your view that the NSL engages appropriate experts of significant stature to perform such a review. We recommend that you consider approaching the Institute of Directors or one of other large consulting firms in this regard. We consider that we remain willing to engage with you on an overall approval and guarantee a governance framework for the NSL and look forward in assisting this regard. Again, thank you for meeting with Roy and I earlier this month and again earlier today on this matter. We would like to discuss this any other further. Please contact me on 011-806-5180 or 082-5650-786. The Pursuant to a letter from George and Church, dated the 17th of October 2007, it was then agreed by the Grand Chief to refer the matter to the Board of Governors. I did make a note here that at a federal meeting held in Trenton on the 13th of May, the negotiating team was confirmed as being Dr. I. Kwanza, Mr. T. Phillips, Mr. K. Mutawu, Mr. Emma Dalla, and Mr. T. Mensah, Deputy Manager. The above abstract demonstrates without doubt the principle that commissions would be paid to the negotiating team for the certified Board of Governors. Now, Mr. Chairman, what I was waiting for was a letter that was read on the 30th of October to the World Board of Governors as a recollection of what we discussed, you know, on the 11th of November. But more importantly, we had an executive committee meeting in the morning before the Board of Governors meeting, where I sought ratification of this communication by members of the executive committee. Present in that meeting was my friend as chairman, Mr. Kaiser Mochaum, Mr. Mato Madala, Mr. John Committee, Mr. Gulam Ali, Mr. David Tidiana, Ren Schloss, and also Mr. Chester CM, the executive officer. And Sandy Matthews. So all members of the executive were present, you know, in that meeting. And they approved this document, which I prepared to assist, you know, the members who were meeting the same as for the morning to go back when it is supposed to be not for the executive committee, with the credit back to the Board of Governors.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, there's a general meeting that has been scheduled for the 10th, you know, of this month, you know, in Trenton. There's a committee that has been appointed, you know, to help, you know, on this issue, headed by Mr. Solo, and together with Mr. Zé Ferreira, and Mr. Jabu Kumar. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Conte.
Minister, welcome. I think I'm happy that you still have come late and you know the problem of Akashi Park in Parliament. It has not been resolved. So 17 hours takes you 1 hour 15 minutes to come to Parliament. But I want to apologize for arriving late. But I know that the week of the committee around would be in a position to start the meeting. But before I could give members questions, time, and clarity, I just want to clear one or two things. In the presence of the journalist and everyone, the chair was flooded with questions of this kind of a meeting, at what capacity is Parliament inviting the PSF? I had to go to the workshop in the informing the journalist why and how they invited. They are invited in terms of the Constitution Act 108 of 1996. Section 53, read with the rules of Parliament, Rule 138. I have said it very clear to them that it says any other person who is a South African citizen will be summoned or will be invited by this Parliament to give information, to give evidence that would assist this Parliament to take a decision that will make this country to develop or to be in harmony with this process of a developmental agenda. So it is on those bases that we have invited them. And I want to say to them today, not even a single stage did the PSL indicated that it is unwilling to come. I have received their letter, which has requested a postponement because of the prior arrangement, and the Parliament accepted those reasons without anything and without even doubting those reasons. So I think today we are clearing this matter for the last time. It's just like the matter of the quota meeting, which the media is so upset about issues of quota, which are blown at times out of context, what is that? And then anybody invited in this portfolio committee and in this Parliament is invited on those bases. And there is nobody who is a citizen of this country
if it's a political aside, person will come to this portfolio committee on this parliament, because at that time he is in the vicinity of the Republic of South Africa, and therefore there's no way that he cannot come and obliterate and flout the constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Even the minister who is in charge of sports in this country, if this committee wants him at any time, but let me say before I go to the minister, show you the intricacy of this portfolio committee and the parliament. The president is called to this parliament to come and account on the president's activity. If other people are going up and down and saying the president is better managing the outside world than the country, and the president is called to come and explain on what should be the relationship of South Africa and those countries that other people view as the president manages those countries better than this country. And a country that is not at peace with its neighbors, it will never be at peace with itself. And that is the mission that the president most of the time tells those who ask him to come to parliament. But he has never indicated that he can't come to parliament. And therefore the minister cannot, even by a shred of a moment, just indicate that he cannot come to parliament, nor anybody else. I'm sure that matter is closed and it will never be opened again. So I'll ask members to introduce themselves and then get clarity from the PSN on those matters. Before we could ask questions, let's quickly introduce ourselves so that the visitors must know who are these people that are sitting here. I'll start quickly here.
Cedric Frolic, ANC.
Chair, I'm fighting with the TV too high. TAC Low, ANC.
I am Bangladesh, the media worker, I have a phone from the ANC.
Karaki Khalsi, ANC.
Donald Lee, DA.
Roy Bula, Minority Frank.
Akwasin Juri, ANC.
Eric Lucas, IFP.
Thank you, Omluka. Good. The other thing, Honourable Member, the Chief Whip of the ANC phoned me and asked me that there is a meeting that the opposition parties have attended last week, and the press. But the committee secretary, Donald, and Omluka and Bula was in that meeting. That meeting was cancelled 7 days before any time, as soon as we received a communication from the PSF, and the meeting of the committee was postponed. But long before that, I have interacted with the minister. The minister was going to a send-off of our national team of a netball of women. And therefore, I said that the national team of women in this parliament will get any other status like the Springbok, and that meeting will not go on. The minister and I myself would go and send off that team. And the minister not coming to the portfolio committee last week, because on those basis, which are very genuine reasons that the meeting could not go on. And I have not made any mistake in making that meeting not to go on, to go and give a send off to the women's national team to go and play in New Zealand. And therefore, opposition party, I think there was a problem with the secretary. And then I asked him, then he said, no, he has phoned the secretary. But I said, you must not phone secretaries again. You must send notices to inform other parties that the meeting is no more taking place, so that at least they can't go and stand there for the whole day and thinking that the meeting is going on. But we want to apologize for that error. Donald, to you, number one.
Chairperson, the apology is accepted. Chairperson, Dr. Khoza mentioned the introductory remark that you went to Paris and you were so proud of what happened there. I think we were all very proud of what happened there. And then he continued by saying, in 2010 we must do better. That's what you said. Now, Chairperson, we will be very, very proud if we do well in 2010. But we can only do well if we nurture the talents that we have in South Africa. We must remember, many more people play soccer than rugby. And really, if we really look after our talents and develop our talents, then we should do better in 2010. And we are really looking forward to 2010. It's for that reason, Chairperson, I want, you know, and it's also pretty, Chairperson, we only received this morning. And it's quite a thick document. And, you know, it's just, this is just a casual look at that. We would really would have loved to have studied this and to come back with thought through questions, really. Dr. Korda, I spoke about 2010. But as we sit here, and it's all of us, my constituency is in the northern areas of Port Elizabeth. Very, very poor people, but very, very talented soccer players. They are very keen. And those people come to us, and they ask from us, listen, this kid or that kid is going somewhere. And in fact, I can give you names of kids who are going overseas to go and play soccer. But we, as members of parliament, must finance these people. We are going to find money for these kids. And you know, that is when it comes to the commission and things. That is when it hurts. That is when people are, all these people are, the man in the street or the soccer player in the street, he wants to know, why are these people getting so much money? And we don't really have money to perform or to go anywhere. Because we want really to represent the structure of ours. You talk about the syndicates in this document. I want to know, and perhaps I must make another point, Chairman. I'm one of those people that wants to leave soccer for you to run. You must be in charge of soccer. But I worry when I read in the newspapers about how the money is being handled. Whether it's true or false, you are trying to tell us it's not the full truth sort of what is written in the paper. But I want to know this morning, how much are the people giving? So that, you know, we can't blame the place anymore. We want to know who is giving what. And because I firmly believe, talking about those poor people again, those soccer players, I think, you know, better for South Africa if more money is spent on the development of soccer in this country. See, money must be spent on development. That is my first thing.
Let's just take COM. I'll do the pledge, because, you know,
oh, you want to give on case by case?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I think it's very important that we should not confuse the TSM with SAFA's. SAFA's responsibility is that of development. But that does not mean that, you know, we abdicate our responsibility as a TSM to participate in development. There is a fee that TSL pays every year to SAFA with regards, you know, to help, you know, assist SAFA in the development, you know, of the port. But more importantly, SAFA is for its own challenges. Fortunately, I attended the great community of SAFA. SAFA is for its own challenges, which I hope this parliament one day will assist SAFA to resolve this. Any sponsorship that is meant for SAFA, that sponsorship is only event related. Now, it's not preparing to go to Ghana. SAFA is required to raise about 12 to 13 million rand with no company catering, because that event is not part of the agreement. All monies, you know, allocated by the sponsor, those monies, you know, are to do with the keeping of the game,
and other activities which are also benefited the sponsors, because for them it's a return on investment. The question is, do they get any return when it's been up because of this nation? I don't know the answer. But it's also interesting that the very same platform that is, you know, is struggling, you know, to raise, you know, finances, in the contract that has been signed just, you know, the other day, in that contract, which we never see the official contract, the commission for raising of sponsorship is inside that contract. That MegaPro is entitled to a commission, which was signed by APA and was called, you know, that is, you know, company and was called. Now, that is something else. Now, I'm talking about development. But let me come back to your question. That you see these two people sitting here. We took a cognizant position in 1997 in a one-on-one meeting when there was a tension or the apparent tension between the two of us. We met, you know, in a boardroom which is about 24 people, the two of us. We spent 4 hours trying to find out what are the problems, why the tension, and we could not find an answer. And we resolved that it is better maybe to confine our rivalry for 80-90 minutes in the field of space, but we must cooperate on issues that are commercial. Out of that meeting, we conceived the idea of the PSA. And we said, the two of us, we are marketable. You know, we can raise sponsorship, but not all the people of the PSA. How about, you know, giving away some of our rights to empower those teams? They have a strong PSA. They have a balanced work colleague, because we're going to, you know, increase the income stream for the PSA. And also to make sure that, you know, we maintain the national character of the game. Because if we don't do that, the PSL or NFL will remain a housing league. It is not good for people. And out of that meeting, we started now, you know, lobbying members, you know, of the NFL then, on the idea. And ourselves, we went out to go and look for that money, you know, to SABC at the time we paid 6 million rand. We raised 22 million rand. But each club must be given a million rand, you know, as a grant. But that million rand as a grant is only upon conditions that time. That, you know, they must make sure that, you know, all travel must be airport. That all salaries of the players, you know, are guaranteed. Now, that is the starting of a phase. The day after, you know, we're saying that, you know, we're going to make sure now that we challenge some of the contracts that have been signed, because they don't have to unlock the value, and that makes football the number one sport in the country. And the quality, we work together on mechanism of how to do that. But apart from this, these two teams, IS included, Silver Stars against Santos, Vest, and the Super Sport, the Senate, Super Academy. My team alone, I'm sponsoring full time, 150 kids from all over South Africa. You know, full time winning and coaching. You know, from Natal, from Toy and Do, from Western Cape, from Eastern Cape, they're all in Johannesburg. In a boarding school, pay for out of our coffers, because we don't abdicate our responsibility of helping integrating the sport, and it's costing us plus minus 5 million rand every year. That we don't talk about in the past. But apart from that, we make our available our team all the time to assist in those local associations, and that requires to fundraise to make our teams available to play 20 games in assisting, you know, in those associations. Now, on the issue, you know, of players going overseas, obviously is a problem. But again, you know, we as a peer said, you know, we are not in charge of those teams. That's a tougher responsibility. But what we have done, because the PSL teams themselves, not all of them are sponsors, it was to make sure that out of this contract, we use all the challenges that were there to try and unlock the vision. And having done that, we said, now they might not be able to see, there will be certain conditions attached to it. It's going to be very important that all the teams of the PSL should not only be a team in the PSL only. They must have development structure. They must affiliate, you know, to the local association. So that, you know, there must be a plan back. You know, the teams must have a base where they come from. They cannot just float. So because two teams that are floating, so because of the buying in of the food with a lot of money, because they are buying. Business and liquidate their destitute today. So the sacrifice is made for them to get the TSL money. So it's not reasonable sometimes, you know, as a challenge to say, you know, this money must go away, because we don't think about those people as well, but you know, just trying anything to say, we in the TSL, with nobody helping us, we're finding this thing from our pocket, you know, to run food. But here we were not selfish. We're saying that for the first time, again, it was our innovation. That we came up with this charity or competition. That every beginning of the year, we've got to pay the thing to give back to the people. You know, and make sure that, you know, those needy causes we support by way of the charity or competition that is now called the charity. So we are doing our bit in our own way to make sure that we support where we can do that. But in this new, you know, a money that we have saved, we've made, you know, an allocation to SAFA. Of every year to give SAFA out of the CB money, 7 million rand contribution every year towards development of the policy country. Thank you.
So thank you, Chairperson. You know, Dr. Koza, there was a time in the history of sport in this country when it was not popular to sponsor football. We were faced then with the advent of professionalism in sport. And I hear what Mr. Lee is saying about this presentation. To put it quite frankly, from outside, it will be very time consuming to sit here with each and every transaction that takes place between sports federations, all sports federations, not only football, and the parties that they engage with, which in this instance sponsor. We are aware that the payment of commission is also not unique to football. It happens across the board. It's an international practice that has been established. And as a result of that, it is very, very difficult to keep abreast of all these transactions that take place. But I want to put it on record, it's for the first time I've been on this committee since 1999 that we've seen such a set of documents detailing each and every engagement that has taken place around this matter. No any other federation has done that. We will have to spend a lot more time, Chairperson, in Parliament and outside Parliament when we start calling up the sponsorship deals of rugby, of cricket, and of other sport groups. It will be a cumbersome process. But be that as it may, and you briefly touch on it, on the history, when I'm dealing with the principle of sponsorship in football in South Africa, and you refer to your 1997 meeting that the two of you had. I want you to elaborate on that. What brought us to where we are now? Is this matter of the South African public being shocked that we never thought that football will be able to raise sponsorships of over a billion rand or so, and that all of a sudden the 10% runs into hundreds of millions of rand? But give us your perspective on that. And secondly, very importantly, is given the immense challenges and poverty that we have in the country amongst our sportsmen and women, the fact that there's no decent league in South at the moment catering for women football, the fact that women were promised 2 years ago that there will be some form of a PSN league for them, how do you justify the seems as if, but it's got to do with your history, of course, in football in South Africa. It's a bit of an anomaly where you have elected representatives, elected in general meetings, also standing in line to benefit from sponsorships being raised. What are your views on that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Now,
before, when you answer that, is it what we are understanding just this point, that when you have to be a leader in a church, what makes you to be a leader is the commission that you are going to get ready for the city. That's for that, and then you have this culture and your credibility to solicit sponsors, and therefore you are going to get that. That's probably the understanding, so that all of us must have a sense. The license to the TSN is your credibility and how you're going to solicit the sponsor, and you get the so-called the entitlement of the Chairperson Commission throughout the country.
I don't know whether the commission allow me to see that piece. Mr. Chair, when you go to, let me talk about myself. The clubs were coming from a trip that we have arranged to go to France and to go to England to study certain methods and also to try to give them perspective on how football is run, how to empower your team, and things like that. When the team, you know, came, you know, back, then it was still, you know, Johannesburg Airport. It was a delegation sent that they asked me to send at 10 minutes. And at that point, we have not discussed the issue of commission. But let me take you back in history. In fact, for the minute here, a very interesting minute, of 2002, present in that meeting was Professor Mkunu, who was chairman, Mr. Jay Kumar of Free State Staff, Mr. Professor Stoyce, Best University, M.C. Glass Sundown, Mr. John Prince from Robert Fadus, Mr. N. Gubani Amazulu, Mr. J. Committee's IF Cape Town, Mr. R. Mishnani Gwaba Ria Staff, Mr. I. Kwaza Orlando Paris, J.K. Mutaung, Taylor Chief, Mr. Ethias Patel, Super Sports United, Ms. Madhu Madara, Golden Arrows, George Calciano, Hellenic, John Prince, Rokosado, William Adi Santos, Surupa Sia Kushwa, David Tijera, Jack Leppard, Vedi Makamu, First Division Representative, and the Mongani Shope, First Division Representative, Coast Guard. Chairman was Mr. Mishkun at the time, Mr. Chairman. Projection for new season, sponsorship approach. The chairman highlighted that the 180 million budget for the new season should be the basis of our sponsorship negotiation. That calls out to pay the league to full sponsorship amount and not on the current monthly basis so that the league can benefit from the banking system. The meeting resolved that the sponsorship committee and MSA incorporating the day committees and the quasi assistance to continue with sponsorship negotiations and report back before the end of April 2007. 202. Further, MSA should charge the good fee for such funding outside the 7 pillars. Compensation for MSA. Mr. Quasar and the committee of Professor Storch raised their concern about MSA's role in agreement with the league. Certain conditions should be adhered to in order to avoid the repercussions. The chairman responded that he should be compensated for his time spent trying to get sponsorship for the league. Apart from his duties as chairman, and his duties in case with the experience at the time. That was Professor Mkunu then. I challenged his statement at the time. And the rest is this. When I took over as chairman, I made a commitment that I'm going to increase the grants of the team. And in my endeavor, I did a great deal. But what happened in September? When the window of negotiations was about to start, unfortunately, it happened that it was going to happen on the Monday after our annual general meeting and I put it to the meeting. And that is why you read in my statement, and because that's a clip, that I need assistance from the meeting to guide me. Whether must we go outside, you know, for people to do this negotiation for you people, or we go with the internal expertise of Samantha, etc. Phillips, whereupon we shall use our expertise and experience to support you. We never put a condition of commission as a criteria for us to be informed. No. Ask the meeting to guide me as a chairperson, but I don't have any confusion after, you know, the question is started. Because if you don't do that, you clear the deck, you have a problem. Well, a very interesting also discussion with the chairman of the Primarity Union, who advised us that, you know, now that, you know, we are going for this negotiation, talking about now the grants and other payments in terms of how many times you get exposure on the date and you're supposed to be paid for that, the same formula you use in the UK. That it's important in advance to discuss how this money is going to be split. But if you wait until it's in, you're going to have a big problem. Because people are not going to be reasonable in their approach in that discussion. But let me say this thing to the chairman. Paris and Chief was approached before the immigration started. We promised each 50 million rand for one group company. Good thing. Could have taken it. But because of our vision of 1997, we say, if we are not part of this thing, there is no deal on the table. So it was easy for me to have done it that way if the committee was a motivation for me and to make more money. Because at my club, Africa is far more than what we're talking about. But we decided to stay in. And it was my responsibility because their contract which were signed with us defending fighting against those contracts. Say, you cannot sign contracts this way. But if some people who are now vocal in the forefront of this commission thing, they say, man, give the CEO a meeting. Give the truth to work. In fact, they even arranged that if the CEO must go and see our president, I've not met my president as the chairman of the TSA, to talk about issues of football. But he was given an opportunity to go and talk to the man, even on radio radio, to say, I can't even sign a check over 5 rand for 50 cash. And to go on radio and say, it's not true. Now, that contract was signed. And in that contract, there's an element of commission in that contract. It was my responsibility as chair, and as vice governor of the state, make information available. To say to the members, hear what you have. Because this situation internally, because this situation outside, it's your choice. I guided them with all the stuff on the table. And that is why I said, again, when they said to me, take the matter back to the what's called going deal with the modalities. When I could not get my way from the what's called direct into the, I took the matter back to the stakeholder, the shareholder from the business, to say, this was not happening. Now, I can read from the transcript because, you know, it's going to take time for you to study the transcript. This is a transcript from the biennial meeting of the 11th of November. It reads that, let me explain this. The creatives do not benefit. Maybe people think we are negotiating for ourselves. I'm not negotiating for myself as chairman, but I will use my expertise, my experience to support you, to unblock the blockages, and to reinforce. That's what I said to the meeting. You see, it's a chairman. The truth must be told. And that is why, you know, we've got to guard against this thing. Because that's how corruption starts. That sometimes when you put things on the table in an honest way, now people make suggestions to say, man, in the future, if there's an agreement and people, you know, change on the agreement, then you must do it the business in some other way. And I want to say this, that if we have taken a company outside football to do this thing, wouldn't have achieved what has been achieved today by way of broadcast rights, by way of instant sponsorship. I can give you a better example. We would never have achieved that. But in the meeting, what I see was a problem. Everyone was affected by coming to a question. The problem was the quantum. If there was not a quantum, no problem. I'll give you a history. We had a problem in 2001 with MTN. The way the principle was established, in fact, it was a motion that was raised by the joint committee, where we had to pay out MTN out of the PSL. Because they went out, because they did not see any value of their participation in the PSL. And they wanted money, and at that point in time, we had no money. And there was a suggestion to say, man, I move that, you know, whoever gets, you know, 10 million rand, okay, money is entitled to commit. What the means of it, you know, for the community, guarantee. That is a meeting of the November 6, 2001. Now, in this meeting, you know, a member resolved that any member, you know, who comes up with the money is entitled to 10% committee. Then joint committee, I remember the time he said, man, I'm going to go to my settlement. I know it's going to keep me from it. But he could not come up with the money. Now, after what has been resolved, sponsorship report, Mr. Kosa stated that it is not easy to get sponsorship and that a new sponsorship has been finalized for 6 million over 5 years. Mr. Fasia, on behalf of Bushbuck, thanked Mr. Kosa for whatever he has done for the league and further stated that clubs should show appreciation and stop pointing fingers. The meeting applauded Mr. Kosa's effort and resolved that he be rewarded with a suitable gift from the board and should be given the commission which is normally given to companies and or individuals who get sponsorship for the league at the club. But again, they said, since I've attended proper meetings, I don't get paid on proper. I don't take meeting allowances. It's only as and when they give an honorarium, I think one or two members. You know, he started with him when he was in the club, but he never showed what calling or what calling. Even for the first time when I get a meeting allowance in the PSS board, it's a business, you know. And it's not that big money, it's a business. So as I'm saying that, we don't go there to this because it's a gift for me. I go there like what is in the best interest of the PSS. But for me, the motivation was to unlock the value that has been depressed for so many years. To say, as the number one sport, with so many ARs, why are we not increasing the fair value of our sponsors? It's only approach, understanding of the industry, understanding of the mentality of the sponsors, what they want. And we've managed that to reposition the PSL. So for the future, to say, the PSL value is this on broadcast rights, the PSL value is this on event sponsorship. And again, even in broadcast rights, it did not be that I'm going to talk to this broadcaster, again that broadcaster, we said open tender, but we said for 4 days, preparing a document, strategic document, how to approach. It took us 9 months, you know, gathering information, discussing, analyzing, fine-tuning. The commission was not a motivation. And that is why even the members are saying, man, we're going to give you money on the incremental for the first. But the biggest challenge came when it was the fund time. And the guy said, man, this man gonna get 8 million rand. It's a lot of money, yes. And for that reason, we do not want to push for anything. So tell us if you want to change, if you want to withdraw, it's your choice. But the job has been done. Let us not talk about school. Let us talk about what has been achieved. And I should be coming here, getting, you know, an applause, you know, to say you committee people, you've done the best for football for the first time. Let me tell you. There's a letter coming from a big sporting body, the president of that body, to Super Sport. And why is going to PSN instead of us? Because we are better than PSN. Now we are in a win-win situation. You know, there's a letter was written to Super Sport to say, why you pay these people this kind of money? You know, because they want to keep us there. And that is why we come up with a compliance manual, that this money is not money to buy Mercedes-Benz. Now, how do you improve the program? You know, how to afford, you know, and to improve afford, you know, the liaison between us and the media, you know, in terms of making sure that this program becomes a powerful product. How to make this report 2010 that it is a league of choice that instead of players going to Denmark and Sweden from South America and Africa, they were coming to South Africa. These are my challenges, and that we are facing with. And we've got those documents and meetings that have been set up, the one to face last week, discussing the compliance manual and the media manual, to make sure that how to improve the product. So your question is the same. Nobody goes in there to go that, so it's not easy. Seven, eight, it's not easy to get money. People, they can tell you, some of them say, no, because of the 2010 years, it's not easy. Because there are 10 elements why the sport has sponsored. 10, the reason why sports has sponsored. So now, if one of those 10, you cannot give on those 10, then you'll be out of business. That's why even each time, the club will say, I want to assist them, go with them, you know, to go and motivate on their behalf to sponsor why they must sponsor. Try and assist them in formulating what's called, you know, their proposals to the sponsors, because I want a strong league. You know, I come here, I've lost, you know, on Sunday in the chairman, I'm not in a good mood, but yes, I'm a sportsman, you know, that's a compensation, that's a compensation. And again, I'm saying against my friend, you know, he can write cause more problems for me for this year. But yes, it may, I must stand up and move forward. The most important thing, how to send to one another. But I'm just saying that the only maybe challenge was the contact, because the club themselves did not believe. Who could read that much? They could not believe. It's surprising. Let me tell you. It was our members who don't attend meetings with us. But when we were about to discuss, when I was giving them a briefing for 4 hours, the chairman please, man, they just finished it. How much is the deal? They were not interested in the details. How much is the deal? You know. But again, I understood. But I understand that, you know, we don't go in there for the money. And we're going in there to say what is best for the PSL. Because it's easy for us. Tomorrow is easy. We can take a decision tomorrow to avoid all these kind of things. And we want the club. But it's not nice. These are issues. They didn't even need me. But unfortunately, that's why you read the notes. That nobody has challenged the principle of the committee. Nobody. Some will say, you know, it must break down this way, it must be done this way. But it's not with the principle. It's the quantum that makes us to be used with. It's the quantum.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Corby, when is it fair? Any other elected leader soliciting sponsors will get the truth. To me, say, the impression that if I go there to Ghana every day to the league and then how the internet kind of approach, I understand what you're saying. But I wanted to understand is that the understanding that anybody elected there, and those that are having credibility, like Cedric, would be able to enjoy that privilege from the chief. In spite of understanding that it's a change. But to me, that is an impression. If that is not an impression, then it's fine. But the question of any other person in there, and that you don't have certain people that work on the sponsors, because probably they don't have that enough credibility and the 10 points that you're talking about, and therefore it's difficult to get that one. But it changed to any other person that, okay, I can go there and get a sponsor of that issue. And when it is a norm to anybody disguising it under certain consortium that is there, that you just indicated, that Cedric indicated. Maybe that is why there's no big noise about it, because it is happening, but it is handled in a different way. In this case, probably this is how it is be. But there are lessons that we have learned from the But on the lighter note, if you have not seen the president, you must be the coach of the rugby, and then write a letter to the president, you will see the president. Definitely, I can assure you that will happen to you. Oran, yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Dr. Koza, somewhere, you know, it's a pity one got this document this morning, but somewhere there's something about development. Now, you must just understand that we don't know what is the difference between SAFA and PSL. Because I see you speaking on behalf of SAFA, then I see you speaking on behalf of PSL. It's like
a member of the ANC who is also a member of the party. Now, we will come with questions to you which might be meant for TAPA, but please bear with us. You know, I just want to say that I must thank you for bringing all the Ghana on board. Because he has changed the way our parties speak. And he has also brought in lighters of this country. No, wait, man. You see, this team, you were talking about you want to be a better team in 2010. But I don't think that is going to happen in the way how teams are selected by the PSL. You are developing lighters. You got a lot of our brothers from Africa, and they occupy that place. These lighters can't get through. Each and every time they are awarded the best striker, it's a foreigner. The best goalkeeper is a foreigner. The best midfielder is a foreigner. Now, that is the problem which we are going to have in 2010, provided Mr. Mutam is also going to follow you and get somebody local to make it a point that this light comes through to represent our country. You said that you made a point that 1 million fans go to each club with the sponsor with the two of you have raised. And one of the things that million is for to guarantee the salaries of the players. Now there's an outcry that some of the players are getting R1,000 a month. And some are getting R60,000 for 45 minutes. So we don't understand. These 150 kids which you spoke about, which you collected across the country and you put them in a development, is there going to be a program for those lighters which will take them through so that they are ready in 2010? On the issue of the commission, you know, I'm happy that you called you so that you can clear some of these things, because I was also one of the people who engaged these guys, then reached themselves. We did not know the in and out. So I'm happy for the information. Tomorrow one will be in the position to say, no, this is the real issue around this commission. But how much is this commission? You talk about percentages here. If you can say in rand and cents, what is the amount? Thank you.
When you reply on the question of the player, I want you to listen to the laws of the country, on the labor law, on all other issues. I have this impression, which I fight with the minister every day. Sport in this country has created a little government on their own. That grants sport paramount to the government of the day. I'm happy the department is here today. Because they will have to explain to us the extent in which they did have with both SAFA and the PSL around sport. Because there is no end in terms of the president and the politician, anybody in the country. That grants sport has said. The combat is sitting on my left hand. So I want to get that, because one principle that is just to observe is the laws of this country that cut across anything that is existing in this country. When you reply to the question of the players, I want you to give us a perspective around the laws of this country, around people that either waiting temporarily, either on contract or what, where do you place them as a sport?
You know, if I was Kiza Mutau, then I will attribute to the chairman, you know, you invited me for this Alpha team. But, you know, I'm happy that I'm answering these questions because the answers are there, you know, and they're also important, you know, to have clarified certain things. The 1 million rand I spoke about, it was when we started. It was then, to say, each team must have 1 million. 1 million in 1970 was a lot of money. Now, unfortunately, there are new benchmarks in terms of the new players coming to the industry to increase, you know, the packages of players, and which makes it difficult, you know, for some of the teams, even the big teams, you know, to cope with the challenge. Not only happening here in the kingdom, you can see, you know, all the big teams, you know, are outside people in the region, and it becomes, you know, difficult for people to compete in that environment. But here it may, firstly, let me just indicate that, you know, what is our projected cash flow for 2007-2009, and give an indication of how much money goes to the club, out of what we have spoken about. Grants to the club will amount to 289 million rand, 590,000 rand. Grant to SAFA is 7 million rand. Grant to Reverend Development, 2 million rand. Grant to SAFCO, 1 million rand. Grant to Legacy Development, 3 million rand. Insurance of players, 5.4 million rand. Insurance Reserve Fund, 5 million rand. Reverend Met Commissioner fees, 6.4 million rand. Security personnel fees, 2.9 million rand. Travel accommodation and teams and revenues at 81 million. Now, each team, a minimum, will be getting $1 million a year, a month, minimum. Now, at this point in time, you know, we have signed, you know, a recognition agreement, you know, with the union. And beyond that point, you know, we have established a forum working towards, you know, a bargaining chamber to help resolve this issue. And there are issues that, you know, we have dealt with, you know, in a manner that shows that, you know, we want to have a solution and a mechanism of interacting with the union in an endeavor to assist, you know, to resolve some of the challenges, you know, that we are facing with the players, because there's a role that they must play. Because those players, you know, some of them, they don't come from families with the right, you know, fabric, you know, where, you know, if you're feeling parents or the environment is challenging, we need some mechanism that must take place in assisting the players. That's why we think the union will play a part on that part. Maybe on the issues of the contract, you know, I'll ask, you know, our in-house, you know, we have to deal with that part, you know, and I'll add and then we'll add on the first one question.
Just a short question. Yes, this union that you refer to.
Don't have
the players union.
I can add more as to what we have done, because he was in that committee together with Trevor Phillips and later on with Sandy Matthews and obviously with Martin Murphy, as to what we have done with regard to the issue of the players.
That's fine, don't go in, but we just wanted to see the relationship of the law of the country around the labor on casual workers, on any other thing. Where do you stand on those things? And then what are the relationships? What are the issues that is just in snapshot, and then so that we will understand? Because we met with the players union 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, and the relationship between you and the club, not you as a theater, and the club and the players, not a very good one. Yes, sometimes not a good one, and a pure daylight exploitation of these players by those clubs. And that challenge, we are giving it back to you, Mr. Ponsa. As the leadership of the PSL, there is no way that a club just officially belongs to this country. Do not micromanage sports in this country. But when it comes to the club, we will think about how do we push the minister to go to that country, because it is quite quickly undermining the laws of the country by some other club. They have told us very sad stories that are going on, except really other
things. Thank you for the opportunity. Very briefly, and I'm pleased that you have been interested in that issue. acknowledge members of the union in the House, and obviously in the event that one misses the House, I'm sure they'll be quick to correct that. Chairperson said the league has always acknowledged that it is not above the law. We acknowledge that players are covered by the basic condition of remedy. However, Chairperson, I need to explain the difficulty that the league has an entity finds itself in, and this is fact. The league at the moment is not an employer of the players. What happens, Mr. Chairman, is that players get contracted by clubs directly. The league as a body is not privy to the nature of the contract that these players, with or without the assistance of the union, conclude. In terms of rules and regulations, signed contracts of players are submitted to the league for voting and their fees. The only time that the league will have sight of the contents of that contract would be when there is a dispute. It is always at that stage that we discover what in actual fact the terms that have been agreed upon have been. But these are the situations, it would be incorrect to generalize and give an impression that all clubs are treating their players shabbily. But having said that, that particular challenge that you are throwing to the leadership of the league has indeed been acknowledged. And it is against that background that the league has of its own accord, in consultation with the union, established a bargaining chamber, a chamber at which all of these treatment issues are being addressed. Some have already been addressed, some have not agreed upon. But it is fair to say openly in the presence of the union that central to this issue is to agree on a basic minimum wage to take care of this issue. And it's a fair point that we have acknowledged as a need. But there are certain mechanisms, Mr. Chairman, that need to be addressed if you are to achieve that. One of the things over which we are deadlocked with the union is the following. And I'm going to be brutal about it and say it, Mr. Chairman. For some of these things that the league agrees with to be achieved, structurally and constitutionally, the league structure would need. You would have to have an equivalent of registering the league as an employer's organization to enable the ministry or the Department of Labor to ensure if these benchmarks are not adhered to. Now, structurally, you cannot have that at the moment because the primary employer are the clubs. Unless if the clubs agree unanimously that they want to divest those obligations to the league, so that the league can then step into their shoes. Only then can that be achieved. And at this stage, we are in the process of sensitizing members of the league around the nuances of this legal process. It is going to be a process, not an event. And in our last meeting in the chamber, the union put it in one certain terms that unless the league considers to register as an employer's organization, they are pulling out of the talk. That's fact, it means. We then said it would not be wise to pull out of the talks because we are disagreeing on a particular fundamental point, which we all concede. But people have to understand that as a chamber, you do not have the mandate to change the constitution. You still have to go back to the owner. We went back and reported to our principal. We were told to go back to the chamber and talk until we found the solution. And I'm pleased to say that the union has also accepted the need for us to go back to the negotiating chamber. Finally, Mr. Chairman, it's only a matter of time until we find each other. But at the moment, we are apart on that question of principle. Not because the league disagrees with the point, but structurally and constitutionally, it is not yet possible. We have been mandated to go back to the chamber with my two colleagues sitting at the back there. There has also been a slight substitution of the composition of the league. Representing the league in the chamber was, for the record, myself, Lola Majavu, Charles Phillips, the CEO of the league, two union representatives, Mr. Kedima Tutuane, Supon Zozo, and recently Mr. Khaw Shubeir. Now that Mr. Phillips is no more, it has to be replaced. Telling us that they have to eat to try and complete that corner. So it there is a convener. So it is an ongoing process. And by the way, that chamber is chaired independently by a senior CCMA commissioner, over whose appointed both ourselves and the league have agreed. So I can safely say, Mr. Chairman, there is a vehicle in place to enable these different issues that you are raising to be addressed, and quite rightly so. We have not yet agreed on all the issues, but at least we do have a mechanism in place, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairperson.
In fact, it will be Solo and Bula, and then the last person to speak will be Pabluka, and then we close that session. Kiesi, Wendy, Makosi, Bula, Solo, and Pabluka. Let's go that through. Yes.
Chair, if you are in this team, your domestic worker is not something that you might. I must be able to consider my.
You better come and play and wait for me.
But, Chair, on a serious note, Chair, having read this, the minister's response to Dr. Ivan Korda, it appears to me that the minister was not consulted before Minister of Finance wrote the letter to us. If indeed there's a case, then I must, as an individual in the committee, raise my concerns about it. And indeed, I also think that this committee must also be listening, because we do have a minister. And I think there are certain protocols that must be followed. You know, when issues are raised by other ministers that are beginning to respond, I think that's important. That's number one. Number two, Dr. Ivan Korda, according to this document, this issue is not, it was finalized, but again, it has not been finalized. Because according to this document, at an executive committee meeting on the 22nd of February 2007, the minutes were approved, proposed a second. I do have a problem with that. Not with the approval in a but the fact that the issue that was finalized seems not to be finalized. If the issue about the commission was agreed, whether it's 10%, 100% or whatever, it was agreed. In a democratically elected meeting, and the minutes were seconded, what was the problem about the implementation thereof? That's a problem, and it's a problem of the. It seems you are running the banana type of thing, where you take decisions, but you can't implement them. But due to outside pressure, you change your mind. It's a problem, and it shows lack of leadership. It's serious. So, because, like Comrade Cedric has just said, the issue about commission is not unique to GSA. It's not unique to SAFA. It's not unique to Dr. Speaker. It's an international phenomenon. You see, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But I do have a problem with you taking decisions and then kept dancing around them when it comes to implementing them. As someone will say, there's a reason that Soka is in a mess, because we can't take decisions. We take decisions, but you can't implement them. So, this committee is not here to approve all board, it's approved on board 10% or 10%. That's not our job. Our job is policy. But there are issues that need to be clarified for the interest of the public out there. But you won't come here and say, no, don't check 10%, don't check 10%. No, but please show leadership. Show leadership. The other issue that you raised was one for the Federation. You did not mention the road to people's fault. And why didn't you keep us
million. They get given to the government. Can you just tell us who's there? What is the right people who preach it? You have an idea, of course, who that might be. You might be wrong. Not that we're going to do anything about it, but it just shows that there is no respect among or between the 45 nations in the country. Thank you.
And, of course, one thing that I want you not to respond to is the matter of Minister Manier. I think Mr. Manier was writing you on the basis of the Minister for Finance, who is in charge of the banks in the country. He was purely on those reasons. Therefore, he has no obligation to ask anybody a permission to talk about this area of competence. So I wouldn't like you to respond about that. But I just put it in that context that the U.S. says in any other banking act and their relationship and their amalgamation are done by the Minister of Sport. And then the question of whether of finance, whether you've spoken to the Minister or not, I don't want you to respond to that. I leave it and then the Minister will tell me. But I'm just indicating a principle that he has a duty to do as the Minister for Sport. And then on those basis, he has written that letter to APSA because of the Minister of Finance wanted clarity on that.
Well, I'm not going to answer Chairman, but I'm going to request that in future he must come and speak. Because it puts some of us in a dubious position. We have made a statement public that it's difficult when a minister you respect, Mr. So well, to the party that liberated us, and it makes it difficult for you to respond, especially with the fact that we spoke, that we cannot accept the use of cannon force, regardless under the guise of I'm responsible for finance for our commission of defense. That's the problem. Out of respect, and that is why I wrote to the minister, because there was an issue at some point which was raised by the minister, same minister. He wrote to the minister on oversight, you know, political case, to ask information. Immediately he called me to his office, I responded immediately. And I'm saying that, you know, these protocols are very important. Even if it does not involve, it should have statement, your people have been APC. You know, what's happening? Because I always make sure, Mr. Chairman, that I agree with him. I don't want to compromise the minister. That's why even with the appointment of the CEO, long in advance, in April, I wrote him a letter to tell him why in the future I'm going to go for a CEO from outside. Some months ago, I informed him that when questions come, he's not embarrassed. But if he does not agree with me, he will call me chairman of the league, can he explain? So I'm saying that, you know, we respect, you know, this thing. And we respect the government. You know, and with respect, you know, so many things in West Africa. And in our own constituents, we are also leaders, you know. And if ever there's an affair in CAF, you can imagine the damage it causes. You know, I'm the face of the PSL at the moment. I'm the face of Orlando Paris. I'm the face of my family. So obviously, they need also to be respected, you know, to say, man, you know, are you drinking quite or not? It's going to happen, you come up with a name, man, quite. It's not fair. I'm saying in the future, we are always available. If people want information, call us. Because in our own small way, we tie ourselves and we err on the side of quality. So that's only my request, Minister, and Chairman, that in the future, that should be like, because they meet everywhere in the cabinet committee to exchange ideas. Because for their own hotline, to exchange ideas. And we're always obliging to be part of the solution. If we are wrong, I'll call up. Say, hey, I'm wrong. So I'm just asking that, yes, I'm not going to answer, but I'm just saying that, you know, it would be nice that, you know, if ever it involves at our court, then it go to internet. On the issue of a meeting, you know, and the term of leadership, I did indicate in the document that this matter was supposed to be sent to the executive to finalize the modality. The principle was accepted in the meeting. And that is why we took the matter to the president, which he could not help us because of the conflict. And we take the matter back, because for us to deal with the matter, it was not a final decision. After deciding as an employee, then the matter is final. There was a right to say, after doing everything, bring the matter straight to us, you know, the board of contracts. We have that. You know, so we are not just this, we are very strong. Yeah. We try our best, you know, also to provide, you know, leadership, you know, and thinking. But we've done what is correct so that, you know, the people, the stakeholders must be satisfied to say we did not put in them or perhaps, you know, undermine, you know, as a process. We need to make sure that, you know, we do this process.
Thank you, Captain. I think Dr. Kwasan was just there with you because I don't really know the rules of SPSL and SAFA. But my understanding is here, they are going to talk to Dr. and I'm going to talk to Dr. I just want to check from the PSL level, what process, what programs do we have in place for development, or how do you take the language system on board? Because clearly we are concerned about soccer and South Africans, and as you are aware that most of us South Africans, people are soccer loving people. What programs do we have, you know, or how do you bring on board the learning institution? And my other question would be the issue of the constitution. They have lived outside. I just want to know, how do you make or how do you educate the public there? Because now we are talking about community, when you were answering here, we are talking about this thing was rigged because of the quantum and all that. But people on the ground, you know, this thing of community is really raised serious concern. Because to me, it seems that we've got people who love soccer, but we don't do enough to teach them about our constitution or whatever decisions that we take. I just want to say that just to check what programs do we do or what is it that we are doing so that people should be well informed about the issues of soccer. And thank you. Since I've been sitting here, it's just soccer, and if you listen, we are only talking about the main sport, soccer. To me, it's still a challenge that it's like we're not taking women's soccer versus soccer. I just want to know, what do you do about women's soccer? And also to check the issue of sponsorship. How do you assist this women's soccer? You know, how do you develop men, how do you develop them? And how do we make sure that we grow them to the ground level?
Before we conclude, just in 5 minutes, we are left with three people in close session. Let's quickly have a tea right on the door there. Just 5 minutes with your regular visitor, and then we'll come and take the last three people. Okay, we'll report.